This is Melissa Patrick for WKLM, and I have the opportunity here to share with you our congressman for the northwestern part of the county, Congressman Max Miller. And welcome, Congressman.
Thank you very much for having me. It's an honor to be down here and great to see you again.
Yes, for sure. It's been a crazy whirlwind of activity in D.C., and so we're finally able to lock you down and get you here into the county and kind of give us an update on what you've been up to while out on the East Coast.
Absolutely. Look, it has been incredibly exciting over the last few months, but my main job in Congress, first and foremost, is to take care of the constituents, all of you who are listening. My secondary job would be what we do in D.C., you know, working on legislation. And right now we've been working on the tax code as I'm on the Ways and Means Committee. And I'm happy and proud to say that we've gotten really great stuff in there, like corporate tax rate locked in at 21%. The child tax credit is going to be plussed up by a few hundred dollars to match up with inflation, which is going to be helpful to our district. R&D tax credit back in for small and large businesses and interest deductible, not to mention later on in the year, I feel very good about the farm bill. So for everyone who's listening, I was on the Agricultural Committee last term. Now I'm on Ways and Means. We are still focused on getting that passed through the end of this fiscal year.
And one of the things that I enjoy talking directly with yourself, Congressman Balderson, with, you know, our state officials, is we get to hear what's going on with what you're doing from you guys. It's not from a news source. It's not from Channel 8, Channel 5, from the newspaper. You're telling us what is happening in these sessions. And so it sounds like you're feeling really positive about the tax code stuff that you guys are working on.
I do. And President Trump's promises are in there. Promises made, promises kept. So when we talk about no tax on tips, no tax on interest rates on car loans, no tax on Social Security, and no tax on overtime, we've accomplished that goal and fulfilled the president's agenda within this tax code. And that is going to be helpful to every Ohioan and every American out within the country. So yes, we're pretty motivated right now to make sure we can continue to extend these policies and get them going.
Has any of that gone to vote yet? Or are you guys still getting that all collaborated to go to vote?
So as you guys have maybe seen or not have seen, it hasn't been the easiest process, but we are headed to something called markup on Tuesday. And that is where every person on the Ways and Means Committee, Republican and Democrat, will sit there for more than 24 hours straight. So I'm expecting tomorrow to go into markup at 2 p.m. and I will be in the same suit, in the same socks, and everything else for probably 36 hours working through and fighting for these policies against the other side of the aisle to make sure they're included for the American people.
So wear comfy shoes.
Wear comfy shoes, maybe pack some extra clothes. Definitely.
Snacks.
Oh my God, snacks have to be on deck. And for me, they're probably very boring, but I need them. Otherwise, I won't survive.
If you're anything like me, I'm the poster child for hangry. So,
oh, people know me very well up there as someone who's unfiltered and pragmatic, but they know if I don't eat, they've got a problem. So,
and, you know, it's nice to chat that shows the human side, because so many people think of our elected officials, once they leave the state and they go to D.C., they're no longer regular people. They see you guys as a machine. And things like that. Hey, you're just like every one of us, and you're fighting for every one of us with what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, people look at me all the time and they say, "You have a daughter?" And I say, "Yes, I do. Her name is Ruthie, and she is the greatest thing in the world. And I am human, and I do have stress. I do have anxiety. I do deal with things just like everyone else does. But what I can tell you is this, is that, you know, I very much enjoy this job, the bad stuff that comes with it, the great stuff that comes with it. But I've got, at this point, alligator skin. And it's been developed over the course of the last 2 years and some change. And I fight for our district. I'm an advocate only for the people of the 7th District and nobody else. And my hope is that people have seen that body of work since I've been here and will continue on.
And your district is so diverse. It's from the northwestern part of Holmes County all the way up to the cities up north.
Oh, it's not challenging at all. No, I'm just kidding. Look, I am very blessed to have this district and the different demographics. Right now we're in Holmes County, which is very different than Cuyahoga County. If you look at Cuyahoga County, which is a few counties up north, we have the largest Ukrainian constituency, believe it or not, by any one Republican, one or two, within the entire Republican conference. And once again, I take votes for the district. I don't take votes for myself. I don't take votes for anybody else other than the people who are here in the 7th district. And I do my very best to stand up for those individuals. So if it's the Ukrainian community or the Amish community or the Irish Catholic community or the Arab community, whatever it's going to be, we will be there to support our own people.
Do you find it where some of your communities clash sometimes?
Absolutely. And that is completely normal. We clash all of the time. And as I say this with as much respect as I possibly can, I could not win in Jim Jordan's district, and Jim Jordan could not win in my district. And that is how these districts are cut. We each have different demographics of constituents that we are going there to represent. I'm in an R7 district. Jim's is like an R, I'm speculating, but maybe 15 to 20 or something like that. It's a little bit different in policy, but clashes are normal, disagreements are normal, and we just have to work those out within the community. And I believe that, you know, people, whether you're here or there, have seen that I stand up for our community when that number is called.
For sure. And, you know, you were talking about coming together. One of the other things that we mentioned kind of in our pre-chat was reconciliation. And I wanted to make sure to bring that up before I forgot that word again, because for some reason that word struggles with me. So what's going on with that in D.C.?
Don't worry. It struggles with members of Congress, too. I've talked about it a little bit with the tax code, and that's what we're working on there. But also, there's other things that come into it as well, other priorities from other committees that we haven't seen quite yet. We've been working on our business on the Ways and Means Committee. Energy and Commerce is doing their own thing, looking at their number that they've been given. We will find out everything by Wednesday, late afternoon, in terms of what is all in reconciliation from the entire conference of what we're putting together. But this package is going to bring stability to the country.
So what is your number for the Ways and Means? If I remember correctly, the Energy and Commerce was 89... billion or million.
They had 880 billion.
Okay. I knew there were some eights in there. So that was a few weeks ago. So what is the number for your guys's?
Trillions of dollars. So we are roughly around the 3 to 4 trillion mark in terms of the Ways and Means Committee in our jurisdiction. We have the broadest jurisdiction of any committee within Congress. So a lot of people like to say that we are the most powerful committee. I just say we're another committee doing the work of the people. That being said, we have the most amount of savings throughout our committee than any other committee within Congress. We have done everything we can do to make sure that the government is cleaner, that there is no more waste, fraud, and abuse, and solely go after those things and making sure that we know where your taxpayer dollars are going and that maybe one day you know where they're going. So you can have more faith, trust, and confidence in the federal government that when it comes time to pay your taxes or to file that dreaded time every year, you can actually know and see the difference that you're making just by going to work and paying your taxes and to see that throughout our country.
And you talked about waste, fraud, and abuse. That has been a huge topic of discussion. How, from your guys' perspective, how are you seeing things as they get shown? Like, hey, look, this much money was being spent here on this. Why? We need to stop it. You know, what are some of the big takeaways from what DOGE has been doing with all of the waste, fraud, and abuse that kind of stand out to you and your committees?
Yeah, what DOGE has been doing, you know, and they're doing it their own way, and Congress hasn't had too much, you know, insight of what they're doing and ongoing. They do have a website that's up and running. As of right now, they claim that they have saved roughly around $130 billion, right? That's amazing if, you know, if all of that pans out to be true, which I believe that it is. That money will then go to pay off the next round of appropriations so we can continue not to create more debt and deficits throughout our country. Everything that Elon is doing, some of it is great, some of it is yet to be seen, but the impacts of where we are in the economy is we have to understand and familiarize that we are $37 trillion in debt and $90 trillion unfunded in debt. And while that $130 billion is going to be helpful to pay off the next round of appropriations, we have to do more in Congress to get those savings that the American people are actually asking for, because everything that Mr. Musk is doing is on the discretionary side. Everything that is creating our debt and deficits is on the mandatory side created by Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, which we are looking at very responsibly at the moment.
And one of the things I know that Congressman Balderson made a point was you're not taking that away.
No. Look, everything that's been put out there right now is fear-mongering. Every vote that we have taken in Congress has been pretty much procedural. We have not plussed up anything. We have not saved anything or cut anything to this point, nor do I think we're going to. If anything, they're going to be savings for the American people on how we can help more people get onto these programs who actually need them and the assistance instead of individuals who are misusing them. And that is the main problem that we see. But everything in that the Democrats have put out, it's just like when the Republicans are in the minority. It is no different. It is fear-mongering. It is try to confuse the American people to take a position. But to this point, and the president has said it himself multiple times, that there will be no benefit cuts to Medicaid. And I'll take that. If the president says it and we get Troy and Chairman Guthrie, feel like we're going to be in good shape.
It's coming from you, a straightforward, you're there, you're in the building. And so I think it's got a little bit more weight to it than any sort of speculation. Is there anything else that you're working on that is something that is important for people to know about what you're doing?
Absolutely. So for just 2 seconds, I'd like to talk about the work that we do directly in the district and what we are trying to do right now. We have started a large campaign to bring NASA headquarters to Cleveland, Ohio. We are asking to bifurcate the headquarters. President Trump has made it clear that he's not extending the lease in Washington, D.C., and we are competing against Florida, Texas, and Alabama, and D.C., but they're not going to renew their lease, so there's no home for them to go, but they're in the conversation. But when you look at Cleveland, Ohio, and Ohio, the cost of living assessment and no natural disasters, what better place, you know, for the federal government to make that kind of investment than Northeast Ohio, as we are already working on nuclear capabilities that can take us farther out into space that is only being worked on here? Not to mention other things that are coming, like Blue Abyss with a vacuum chamber. The most recent one that we have is down in Houston. It's 50 years old. It needs to be updated. We're getting private entities to come here to grow. This would be transformational to our district. Not to mention the drive time is only 5.5 hours from D.C. to Cleveland, and it's a 45-minute flight when you're talking about relocating 9,000 families potentially. I mean, we are the perfect landing spot. So President's serious about saving money, and I know that he is. The only place for NASA to go should be Northeast Ohio and the 7th Congressional District.
So there's been a lot of talk about that. I've kind of seen it here and there. And you just mentioned relocating 9,000 families. How does that impact your district as far as housing and support for those people?
It would be absolutely incredible. Northeast Ohio has sadly been on a decrease in terms of in population, and we need to bring that back. And right now, this is going to be our best chance to reinvigorate our economy, get people up and moving. Not to mention the Brown Stadium is going to be built in our district in Brook Park, which is very exciting, next to the potential NASA facility. I understand some people may feel one way or another on that, but for the 7th Congressional District, what it's going to do in terms of residential and commercial business will be fantastic for everyone who is there. And that is what we want to see. We want to continue to see our district grow and beat every other district, including the city of Cleveland. If I'm doing my job correctly, I should be attracting everyone to come to the 7th, and everyone should want to move, whether it's going to be Cuyahoga County, Medina County, Wayne County, or Holmes Counties that we can go ahead and work with. So,
and a lot of business is going into Central Ohio, and that's going to affect even up into your district as well.
Absolutely. I mean, right now, we really need that revenue back into Northeast Ohio. And what pains me is we see Columbus continue to grow in population and they continue to grow in size and scope. And there's no reason why we in Northeast Ohio cannot do the same. And that's everything that we're trying to do. We're not trying to model after them. We're going to be better than them. We're just trying to take the right steps in order to get there.
It's okay to have a little healthy in-state competition.
Hey, look, Columbus is a great city. I love the entire state of Ohio, but right now, I'm the legislator for the 7th, and I'll fight for the 7th more so than any other district in the state.
And is there anything else you've been working on?
The only other thing that we have been working on, which is going to be helpful, I'm sorry if it's boring, we have a piece of legislation about standard deduction, which will be helpful for individuals filing their taxes. 93% of our constituents file with standard deduction. So we are going to see a little bit more increase in that, and they're going to get a little bit more of a tax break throughout that process. And by the way, I'm proud to say that that's my piece of legislation in our office that isn't within reconciliation. There's a couple more initiatives that we're working on, but that is the biggest one that will hopefully be signed into law that will have the biggest, believe it or not, impact on the entire country, just not the state of Ohio, as the vast majority of the country files by standard deduction over 90%.
I like the sound of that. I file the standard deduction.
All right, so, I know. It sounds boring.
You can't see on the radio. I was giving like 2 thumbs up here for that one. So those little things that can help families have a little bit more to live on right now.
Without question. And that money is so important. I mean, just several months ago, we kept on hearing about the prices in groceries, the prices in gas, things like that. An extra $1,000 back into somebody's pocket right now is life-changing. And you know, to any American family out there or individual to get that type of break, I'll take that all day, every day. And that's what we're trying to do, make incremental progress into the right type of America that we would like to be.
And so what you're doing at this point, like today, you're making your way around. And that's one of the things that if you follow you on social media or whatever, you try to make your way throughout the entire district to be visible, be there, and to go into these businesses and different places within the district, no matter where in your very expanded district.
Well, it's important to go out, and I'm not doing my job if I'm not in the community. And we do go to all the political events that are throughout our district. But the best outreach that I can do is to go to these local businesses and these, you know, local things that we have throughout our district and meet the people. Because, you know, whether we like it or not, some of these individuals will not come to some of these meetings, right? And they may feel uncomfortable or whatever the reason may be. So then it's my job to go out into the community and seek those people and let them know that, hey, we're here to assist you in any way possible. I'm your legislator. You know, I rent the office every couple of years if you let me. The nameplate comes off really easy. I hope it stays on. But anything that we can do to assist you, we will.
And if somebody has any questions, any issues that they need help with, your office is ready to step up and help.
Absolutely, at any step of the way. So we have two district offices. One is in Medina in Public Square. The other one is a big drive from here. It's in Parma. But we are right now looking to open up a new office in Worcester, which will be a lot closer to where we are here in Holmes County. So we hope to have that up in about 6 to 12 months from where we are today. And so we'll have a lot more outreach. But anyone for any concerns, regardless of political affiliation, please give us a call if you have any questions about what's going on, especially within the tax code. That's the committee of jurisdiction I'm on. But really anything, you know, if you have questions or concerns, please reach out to either both of our district offices or our office in Washington, D.C. Canon 143 is our office, and everything is public, so we can't hide, and I don't want to. So any way that we can help you, please reach out, and we're standing by.
And so if somebody would like to call your offices for that assistance, where would they call?
Thank you for asking that question. So we have three offices all together. Let's start with the two most important ones, and these are back home. We have one in Medina, and they're by appointment. The number is 330-661-6654. We have another office in Parma. That number is 440-692-6120. And our Washington, D.C. office, that number is 202-225-3876. And you feel free to give us a call. Please go on our website as well and send us a form or a message of anything you would like us to take a look at.
And we thank you so much for taking a moment out of your time as you're heading out and about to give us an update and share what you've been working on. There's a lot of important stuff that affects not just your district, but everyone in the state and the country.
Without question. I just want to say thank you. It's great to see you again. Thank you for allowing me in your home and taking the time to sit down here. And this has been a really great interview, and I know I'll be back soon. And anything you need or anything our constituents need, we're only a phone call away.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. That was Congressman Max Miller, and he is of the 7th District. For WKLM, I'm Melissa Patrick.